Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going deep into the world of military aircraft sustainment, you know, how the military keeps its planes in the air. And we'll be focusing specifically on how the arrival of a new helicopter, the CH-53K King Stallion, is revolutionizing not just flight, but the entire support system behind it.
Right.
So we'll be tackling some key questions.
Okay.
What does a digital aircraft actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
How can it predict what it needs, like, before it breaks down?
Interesting.
And what does all this have to do with 3D printing on a battlefield?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a really interesting time in military aviation right now. The King Stallion is coming online after, like, over a decade of the military experimenting with digital maintenance on aircraft like the F-35.
Yeah.
And it's happening at a time when the way the military operates is undergoing a major transformation.
Okay, yeah. So let's start with the CH-53K King Stallion itself.
Sure.
It's the U.S. Marine Corps' latest heavy lift helicopter, right?
Yes.
I'm looking at a photo here in one of our sources.
Yeah.
It shows the King Stallion.
Uh-huh.
Alongside the older CH-53E Super Stallion.
Right.
The sheer size of this thing is impressive.
Yeah, the King Stallion is a beast. It can carry over 30 troops.
Wow.
Or 27,000 pounds of cargo.
That's incredible.
And it's not just bigger, it's smarter. It's designed from the ground up to be a digital aircraft, which is a key distinction that sets it apart from previous generations of helicopters.
So when we say digital aircraft, what does that mean? Is it literally like a flying computer?
In essence, yes. The King Stallion is packed with sensors that monitor every aspect of its operation.
Oh, wow.
From engine performance to vibration levels in the rotor blades. All of this data is constantly being collected and transmitted back to a central hub in real time.
So it's like having this constant stream of information about the helicopter's health and performance.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of data. What do they actually do with it all?
This is where the concept of the digital twin comes in.
Oh, interesting.
Think of it as a virtual replica of the helicopter that lives in the computer.
Okay.
As the real King Stallion flies, its digital twin updates, mirroring its every move and reflecting its condition in real time. This allows maintenance crews to monitor the helicopter's health in ways never before possible.
Okay, so instead of just relying on, like, scheduled inspections,
right,
that might miss a developing problem.
Yeah.
They can actually see potential issues before they even happen.
Exactly. It's a shift from reactive maintenance to predictive maintenance.
I see.
Imagine a scenario where the King Stallion's digital twin flags a potential issue with the gearbox.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting for it to fail, potentially during a critical mission,
right,
maintenance crews can proactively replace the part, avoiding a catastrophic failure and keeping the helicopter in the air.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially when you consider the challenging environments these helicopters operate in.
Absolutely.
But this new approach, this isn't just being driven by the King Stallion's capabilities, right? The military itself is kind of undergoing a major shift in how it operates, and that's creating new challenges for sustainment.
You're absolutely right. The military is moving towards a concept called distributed operations, where forces are spread out over vast distances, making it much harder to keep them supplied and ready to fight. This is a logistical nightmare for traditional sustainment models.
Right, yeah. The old way of doing things with massive centralized warehouses and those slow-moving supply chains just doesn't cut it in this new environment.
Exactly. The military needs a more agile and responsive system.
Yeah.
And that's where the King Stallion's digital capabilities come into play. It's not just about the helicopter itself. It's about the entire support network behind it.
So how does this new system actually work in practice?
Okay.
Like, if a King Stallion is deployed on a Navy ship, you know, thousands of miles from any major base, how do they keep it running smoothly?
Let's imagine a specific scenario. Hmm. One of the King Stallions is out on a mission, and its digital twin flags a potential issue with a hydraulic pump.
Okay.
Instead of grounding the helicopter and waiting for a replacement part to be shipped from a depot halfway around the world,
right,
they can use the data from the digital twin to predict exactly when that pump is likely to fail.
Oh, I see. So instead of having to, like, stock every possible spare part at every location,
yeah,
just in case,
right,
they can be much more targeted about what they send, yeah, and where they send it.
Precisely. The system can analyze data from all the King Stallions in operation, identify trends, and anticipate which parts will be needed where. This allows them to preposition critical parts at strategic locations, ensuring that they're available when and where they're needed.
So it's not just about predicting when a part will fail, but it's about optimizing the entire supply chain.
Right.
From the factory to the front lines.
That's the key. And it's a fundamental shift from the old way of doing things. Instead of relying on reactive maintenance and massive stockpiles of spare parts, they're using data to anticipate needs and streamline the entire sustainment process.
And all of this is made possible by the King Stallion's digital backbone.
Exactly.
And the concept of the digital twin.
The King Stallion is a prime example of how technology is transforming military sustainment.
Yeah.
But it's important to understand that this is not just about one helicopter or one technology. This is a much larger trend that's happening across all branches of the military.
So the King Stallion is like kind of a test case for this new approach to sustainment.
In a way, yes. It's a leading-edge platform that's demonstrating the potential of digital technologies to revolutionize how the military keeps its forces equipped and ready for action. And if this approach proves successful, we can expect to see similar systems being used for other aircraft, and potentially even for ground vehicles and ships.
This is all starting to paint a very different picture of how future military operations might be supported.
Uh-huh.
But there's another piece of this puzzle that we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
And that's the potential of 3D printing.
Right.
To further revolutionize military logistics.
That's a fascinating area.
Yeah.
And one that has the potential to be truly disruptive. Imagine a scenario where instead of having to wait for a spare part to be shipped from a depot, you could simply print it on demand right there on the battlefield.
That sounds almost like science fiction.
Yeah.
But is it really feasible?
It's more feasible than you might think.
Okay.
3D printing or additive manufacturing is rapidly evolving, and it's already being used by the military in a number of ways. And as the technology continues to mature, the potential for using it to create spare parts, custom tools, and even entire structures on the battlefield is becoming increasingly real.
Okay, now you're really piquing my curiosity. Before we dive into the world of 3D printing and its potential impact on military sustainment, let's take a quick pause. When we come back, we'll explore how this technology could change the game on the battlefield and the challenges and opportunities it presents. Stay with us.
Welcome back to our deep dive. Before the break, you were asking about the feasibility of 3D printing, you know, in a military context.
Right. Like, is it really happening?
Yeah. While it sounds like something out of a movie, the reality is 3D printing is already being used by the military in a number of ways.
So it's not just a theoretical concept. They're actually using it in the field.
Right.
Or they're printing.
They're printing a surprisingly wide range of things, from custom tools and spare parts for vehicles and aircraft to medical devices and even shelters for troops.
That's incredible. It sounds so versatile.
It is.
But I'm guessing there are limitations, right, to what you can print.
Oh, of course, of course.
Especially in a rugged environment, like on a battlefield.
The technology is still evolving.
Yeah.
And there are definitely limitations in terms of the materials you can use and the complexity of the objects you can create. You're not going to be printing a jet engine anytime soon, for instance.
Right. Makes sense.
But for certain applications, especially those that involve relatively simple parts and readily available materials, 3D printing is proving to be a viable alternative to traditional manufacturing.
So, okay, what about the advantages?
Yeah,
we touched on this briefly before the break.
Right.
But I'd like to explore it further.
Yeah, let's do that.
What are the main benefits of using 3D printing in a military context?
One of the most significant benefits is that it reduces reliance on those long, vulnerable supply lines that are so critical in traditional military logistics.
Okay.
Imagine a forward operating base
that's
cut off from its supply lines due to enemy action or difficult terrain.
Mm-hmm.
If they need a critical part for a vehicle or a piece of equipment, they're in a tough spot if they have to wait for it to be shipped in.
Yeah.
But with a 3D printer, they could potentially manufacture that part right there on site.
Oh, wow.
Using locally sourced materials.
So that's like a huge advantage, right?
Yeah.
In terms of resilience and flexibility. Especially in those remote and austere environments.
Right.
Where getting supplies in and out can be a real challenge.
It absolutely is. And it's not just about resilience. 3D printing can also significantly speed up the process of prototyping and customizing equipment in the field.
I'm not sure I follow. How does 3D printing make prototyping faster?
Let's say a unit in the field needs to modify a part to fit a specific piece of equipment or adapt it to a unique situation they encounter.
Hmm.
In the past, they would have had to send a request back to like a central design facility, wait for the engineers there to create a new design, and then wait even longer for the part to be manufactured and shipped to them. The whole process could take weeks or even months.
Wow.
With a 3D printer, they could design and create that modified part right there on the spot, potentially within hours.
So you're cutting out all the middlemen.
Yeah.
And giving the troops in the field the ability to create custom solutions to problems as they arise.
That's exactly right. And because you can manufacture parts on demand, you don't need to maintain those massive stockpiles of every conceivable spare part.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a major advantage.
It is.
Both in terms of, like, cost savings and logistical efficiency.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need to have these warehouses full of spare parts just sitting around.
Exactly. And when you consider the challenges of transporting and storing all those parts, the cost savings can be significant.
So 3D printing sounds like it has the potential to be like a real game changer for military logistics.
It does.
But I know you mentioned earlier there's some challenges.
Yes, of course.
What are some of those hurdles?
Okay.
What are the biggest challenges to widespread adoption of 3D printing in the military?
One of the biggest challenges is the limited range of materials that are currently compatible with 3D printing technology.
Okay.
For many critical applications, especially in military equipment, you need materials that are like incredibly strong, durable, and resistant to extreme temperatures, stress, and corrosive environments.
So while you might be able to print like a simple plastic part relatively easily, printing a complex metal component that needs to withstand the rigors of combat is a whole different ballgame.
Exactly. And then there's the challenge of quality control.
Oh, right.
When you're talking about parts that are critical to the operation of a weapon system or a piece of life-saving equipment, you need to be absolutely certain that those parts meet the required specifications and will perform reliably under stress. Ensuring that level of quality control with 3D printing can be challenging, especially in a field environment.
Yeah, that makes sense. You need to know that the parts you're printing are, like, strong enough, durable enough, and reliable enough to do the job they're designed for, even in a combat situation.
Absolutely. Another challenge is the training aspect. Operating these 3D printers, and especially designing the digital blueprints for the parts you need to print, requires specialized knowledge and skills.
So you can't just hand a 3D printer to any soldier and expect them to start churning out spare parts.
The military would need to invest in training programs to ensure that personnel have the necessary expertise to operate the printers, maintain them, and design the parts they need.
Yeah.
It's not just about the technology itself. It's about having the right people with the right skills to use it effectively.
And what about cybersecurity? I feel like that would be a major concern.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're transmitting digital blueprints for weapons parts wirelessly to a 3D printer, you'd want to be sure those files couldn't be intercepted.
Of course.
Or tampered with by an adversary.
You're absolutely right. That's a significant concern. And it's one that would need to be addressed with robust cybersecurity measures.
Okay.
You wouldn't want an enemy to be able to, like, hack into your system and either steal your designs or introduce flaws into your printed parts.
That brings up another interesting point.
Okay.
We've been talking about, like, the advantages of 3D printing for, you know, established militaries like the U.S.
Right.
But what about non-state actors?
That's a good point.
Or even terrorist groups?
Yeah.
Could they use this technology to produce their own weapons and equipment?
That's a very real concern, and it's one that security experts are closely monitoring. As 3D printing technology becomes more accessible and affordable, it could potentially lower the barriers to entry for groups that want to manufacture their own weapons. It's something that needs to be carefully considered as the technology continues to evolve.
It sounds like kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you know, 3D printing offers incredible potential for enhancing military logistics and sustainment, making forces more resilient and agile.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, there are these, like, security and proliferation concerns that can't be ignored.
It's definitely a complex issue with far-reaching implications. But even with those challenges in mind, the potential benefits of 3D printing are simply too significant for the military to ignore. It's likely to play an increasingly important role in shaping the future of warfare.
So 3D printing isn't like a silver bullet solution.
Right.
That will magically solve all of the military's logistical challenges.
No.
But it is a powerful tool.
It is.
That, when combined with other technological advancements, could significantly enhance their capabilities.
You've hit the nail on the head. And when you combine the power of 3D printing with the data analytics and predictive capabilities we discussed earlier,
right,
you start to see a truly revolutionary vision for the future of military sustainment.
Okay, so paint that picture for me.
Sure.
What does this future look like?
Imagine a future where every military vehicle, ship, and aircraft is not just a fighting platform,
okay,
but also a node in a vast interconnected digital ecosystem. This ecosystem is constantly collecting data, analyzing that data, and using it to optimize performance, predict problems,
okay,
and anticipate needs.
It's almost like the Internet of Things before the military.
Exactly. And this interconnectedness extends beyond the battlefield, connecting the front lines to the factories, depots, research labs, the entire military industrial complex.
So you're like essentially creating a closed loop system.
Yeah.
Where data is constantly flowing back and forth, informing decisions at every level, from the individual soldier in the field to the generals planning the next campaign.
Exactly.
That's an incredible vision.
It is. And 3D printing plays a crucial role in this vision.
Okay.
Because it adds a level of agility and responsiveness that was previously unimaginable.
Yeah.
Instead of being constrained by traditional supply chains, units in the field would have the ability to manufacture solutions to problems as they arise, using designs that are transmitted digitally from anywhere in the world.
Wow, that's powerful stuff.
It is.
It seems like it could fundamentally change the way wars are fought.
It very well could. For one thing, it could level the playing field between large, well-equipped militaries and smaller, less resourced forces. In the past, the side with the bigger factories, the larger stockpiles of weapons, and the longer supply lines had a significant advantage. But with 3D printing, even a smaller force could potentially manufacture sophisticated weapons and equipment on demand right there on the battlefield.
So it's not just about like keeping existing equipment running,
yeah,
but it's about the ability to create entirely new capabilities as the situation demands.
Precisely.
Right.
And that could lead to a much more fluid and unpredictable battlefield where the advantage shifts from the side with the most resources to the side that can adapt and innovate most quickly.
That's a fascinating thought.
It is.
It's also a little bit unsettling. The idea that the nature of warfare could change so dramatically is a little daunting.
It is. But it's a reality that we need to be prepared for. The technology is evolving rapidly, and it's going to have a profound impact on how we think about and prepare for future conflicts.
So we've talked about the King Stallion as a sort of test case for this new digitally enabled approach to sustainment. And we've explored the potential of 3D printing to further revolutionize military logistics.
Right.
But where do we go from here? How do we make sense of all of this in a broader context?
Those are great questions, and they lead us into some even bigger questions about the future of warfare itself.
Okay.
What are the geopolitical implications of these technological advancements?
Mm-hmm.
How will they affect the balance of power between nations?
Yeah.
And what are the ethical considerations that we need to grapple with as these technologies become more powerful and more pervasive?
Okay, now you're really getting me thinking. It seems like we've only scratched the surface of a very complex and rapidly evolving landscape.
We have, but I think we've laid a good foundation for understanding the key trends and the big questions that we need to be asking ourselves as we move forward. And that's a good place to pause for now. When we come back in part three, we'll shift gears and explore some of these broader implications of this digital revolution in military sustainment. We'll delve into the geopolitical implications, the ethical considerations, and the potential impact on the balance of power between nations. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. In this final part, I want to like zoom out a little.
Okay.
We've been deep in the weeds talking about the King Stallion and 3D printing.
Right.
But how does all this fit into the bigger picture?
Yeah.
Especially on like a global scale?
It's a great question. All these technological advancements we've been discussing really do have the potential to reshape the global landscape, particularly when it comes to military power.
So what are some of the potential geopolitical ramifications of this shift toward digitally enabled sustainment?
Well, for starters, it could shake up the existing balance of power between nations.
I see.
Historically, major military powers have enjoyed a significant advantage because of their ability to project force over long distances and sustain large-scale operations far from home. Think about those massive aircraft carriers sprawling overseas bases and those seemingly endless supply lines.
Yeah, those have been the hallmarks of a global military power for decades.
Exactly. But the rise of digital aircraft, distributed manufacturing, and more agile logistics could change that equation.
So are you suggesting that a smaller military with fewer resources could actually become more powerful on the world stage?
It's definitely a possibility. If a smaller force can use digital aircraft to extend their reach, rely less on vulnerable supply lines thanks to 3D printing, and optimize their operations through data analytics, they can potentially punch above their weight class, so to speak.
That's a pretty dramatic shift. I imagine that's causing some anxiety among the traditional military powers, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely something they're paying close attention to.
Yeah.
And it's one of the main reasons why countries like the United States and China are investing so heavily in these new technologies. They recognize that mastering these new capabilities will be critical to maintaining their military dominance in the 21st century.
It almost sounds like a new kind of arms race, but instead of building bigger bombs and faster missiles, it's about, like, who can build the most responsive and resilient sustainment systems?
You could say that. And as we've discussed throughout this deep dive, it's not just about the technology itself. It's also about the organizational structures, the training, the partnerships, and the overall mindset needed to effectively integrate these new capabilities into military operations.
It's about having the right people, the right processes, and the right vision to make the most of these technological advances.
Exactly. And I think that's a key takeaway from our deep dive.
Yeah.
We've explored some incredibly exciting and potentially disruptive technologies.
Right.
From the King Stallion's digital twin to the possibilities of 3D printing on the battlefield. But ultimately, it's not just about the gadgets themselves. It's about how we choose to use them and how we adapt our thinking to harness their full potential.
This has been an incredibly informative and thought-provoking deep dive.
It has been.
Into the future of military sustainment. It's clear that this is a rapidly evolving field.
Yeah.
With some, significant implications for the future of warfare and global security.
It certainly is. And as we've seen, it's not just about the nuts and bolts of logistics and supply chains. It's about the strategic choices.
Yeah.
The ethical considerations.
Right.
And the human element that ultimately shape the course of events.
I think that's a great point to end on. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And for sharing your insights. I know I've learned a lot. Yeah, I'm sure our listeners have as well.
It's been my pleasure. And as we look to the future, it's important to remember that these technological advancements are not preordained. They are tools that we as a society have the power to shape and direct. It's up to us to ensure that they are used responsibly and ethically to create a more secure and peaceful world.